Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during Red, White, and Blue Savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, my name is Daryl Ong and you're tuned in to the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Being in the fast-paced and bustling nature of our city, most of the times we feel isolated and completely removed from the hardships and troubles that rural communities are going through. However, for the past 6 years, a social initiative called Epic Homes have been filling that void, and instead of just talking, they have a mission to provide and build sustainable homes for underprivileged communities. Overseeing the whole process of selecting families, designing the house, to even getting their hands dirty to build a house, they inspire, mobilize, and empower not responsible but response-able citizens to positively transform the world one house at a time. On the show today, we're privileged to have the co-founders of Epic Homes, Johnson and Jane, to tell us more.
So Epic Homes, in a nutshell, is really an example of what we mean by developing response-able citizens to change the world. So over the last 6 years, we've been involved in building sustainable homes for underprivileged communities, where we started with the Orang Asli people, where we developed a building system that allows these ordinary people to get involved in construction and build a house, an entire home, in as fast as 3 days.
3 days?
3 days.
Okay.
Yeah. And the whole idea of that is to show like how much we can actually get done when we cooperate and we come together. But at the same time, the other objectives, or rather the main objectives, were really to use this as an opportunity to bridge the gap between different people groups where in normal circumstances they wouldn't meet.
Yeah, because I guess your volunteers mostly come from the city, and when you go to rural areas, there's a clear divide there, you know, to the different situations of the both. So you guys built about 100 homes in these 6 years. Can you just give me a rundown of the different communities and, you know, the different locations you guys have worked at?
So I think we've actually built all across Malaysia now. We've built, you know, closer to town, Serenda, Batangkali, working with Orang Asli families and communities there. We've also done flood relief in Kelantan earlier this year and the previous year because there was a lot of need. It was a major effort, actually, to coordinate that project. But personally, it's one of the most rewarding projects I've ever done in my life.
Mm-hmm. I think we're looking at about 10 different villages spanning across 5 states. So that's the states would be Perak, Selangor, of course, Kelantan, Pahang, Johor.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we were not in East Malaysia yet.
Yet. 6 years is still quite young. So so you guys handle, you know, the whole shebang from picking the families that you guys want to help to designing the house and to actually doing the hard labor to actually build the house as well. Mm-hmm. Seems like a tough job. Do you guys solely run on volunteers or do you have like a core team to work with?
We do have a core team and we've grown quite a fair bit since we started. But the role of the core team is really as coordinators to then leverage on so many people out there who are already willing, who are way better experts than us in all the fields that you just mentioned. So all of them, in order for them to cooperate and strategically to reach a certain goal, they require someone to facilitate and coordinate and bring them together to reach this goal. So that's really what the core team is for. But very early in this whole mission of providing homes, we realized that in order for us to scale in building homes that are probably like low cost or affordable homes, there's not enough money around for us to build an entire big team and then depend on that team to build homes for every single person. And that's kind of why we also decided to design homes that are easily constructed and then look at empowering ordinary people to do it in their part-time to build for their own respective communities.
So how was the response like? You say your first project, you know, with the volunteers from the city. I guess not all of them would have, you know, expertise on construction and that sort of thing. So there are people that are willing to learn as well. But for the communities that you reached out to, for the rural areas, would they like, I'll be taken aback if someone wants to build me a house, right?
So I think the way we work is we actually don't pick the families as well. We engage with the community to make those decisions. So we will we'll hold this engagement with all the elders, with all the community themselves, for them to determine who gets a house first. So they come up with their own criteria, and we work with that criteria. So in all of our engagement, we want as much as possible to make sure that they are part of the process, and they understand that this is part of their development, and the end goal is for them to be completely self-sustainable and to be able to work in the same way. In the beginning, you know, building relationships is always, it takes time to build trust, to build relationships.
Yeah.
It's not something that will happen instantaneously. So in the beginning, we also worked with NGOs and people who already have an existing relationship with that village. So it's easier for us to come in and become friends with them rather than a stranger approaching your house and saying, hey, let me build this for you. And from there, that entire journey has developed over 6 years. And what's really incredible now is the beginning stage is us coming in and saying, okay, you know, let's look at these projects. We'll bring in volunteers. We'll bring in funds. This is what we can do. And now the relationship is so good, and the transfer of skills and knowledge has been done in quite a remarkable way, where the village actually says, hey, you know what? I think I need a water dam, and I think our village has an issue with water. Can you give us some tools that we could use to build a dam? Can you bring me volunteers? I would lead them. And that change, that transfer for us, I think that's a huge milestone in terms of success for us to see them taking up this responsibility.
Yeah. So in a way, they set up the projects for you guys.
It's starting to move in that direction, and that is what we want to see with this community. That's what it means to be resilient and sustainable.
It's kind of like a step forward, right? If they pick up the mantle. So yeah, building relationship as well. In your website, you say that they're not just building houses, but you're building homes.
That's right. I think to us, the definition of a home is not just a roof over your head and shelter. I think a home should be a stable platform where one can be sheltered away from worries. You know, one can go back for refuge after a long day. One can look at dreaming a little bit bigger and aspiring for greater things for their children. Mm. You know, and so when we talk about building a home, you know, obviously we're not just talking about infrastructure, but we believe that the most important thing about a home is really the relationships that you hold inside the house that really makes it a home. And that's why when we look at building the house, the whole process and the whole experience is designed and crafted in a way where we're looking at building these relationships while building the house. And at the same time, through those relationships, we build trust, we build understanding, and then there's a transfer of love and hope, you know, and this then self-perpetuates. And I suppose that is, now in retrospect, we can look back and say, yeah, it works, you know, we've done that.
Definitely.
You know, and that's what it means by not just building houses, but building a home.
That's great. You guys also said that Epic Homes is not a charity effort, it's more a social initiative. Can you just elaborate on that as well?
So I suppose like what we're trying to do is also redefine what charity is.
Okay.
I think first of all, it starts with our mindset towards the people that we're building for. We're not building for them because we see them as less than us, but we're getting to know them and we're realizing that they have dreams of their own that they want to aspire and reach. But what's holding them back is things like a house, for example.
Basic human needs.
Yeah. And so it's just giving them that extra boost so that they can then reach these goals that in normal circumstances they would have already done so. So it first starts with that mindset. The other would be perhaps our model, which I guess some would say would be unique. When we started, the whole idea of building a house in 3 days, getting ordinary people to do it, you know, wouldn't be something that a typical charity setup would approve.
Yeah.
Because even ourselves, it required a lot of exploration, experimentation. And so when we decided to do this in the long term, we realized that we also wanted to maintain our agility and be able to still maintain that freedom in making decisions so that we could continue to explore unique ideas such as Epic Homes.
Okay.
You know, and so we stumbled across this whole idea of coming out with a model that goes in between a charity and a business. And now we found out that that's what you call a social enterprise. Mm. And so while the funding for homes still do come from sponsors and philanthropic channels, but our operations is sustained by the social business model that we have, where the homes that we build, we also sell that experience as a team building activity, which a lot of companies has, more than 40 companies have worked with us on.
Oh, so companies actually use you guys as like a team building.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. So we tell them that you're not just doing a team building, but you're also fulfilling your CSR. Or you're not just doing your CSR, but you're also
Works
doing
both
team
ways.
Building as well. You're killing two birds with one stone.
Great stuff. It sounds like a really tough job to do. Can you just run me through some of the challenges you had in 2012 when you guys first started and to now? Because I assume they'll be quite different.
Let's see. I think for us, one of the big questions that we faced was really, what do we want to stand for? What's the foundational belief that Epic is built upon? We wanted to make sure that it wasn't just, you know, building. It was really about relationships. It's really about creating connections for people to work together. So how do you ensure that when you scale, that same spirit is carried onwards? Mm. That was one of the things that we were tackling. So what we did was we crafted a journey for our volunteers to go through, where you may come in as somebody who engages with the committee. The first step would be, you know, you do the asset mapping with them. You get to know them first. And you can come in as a builder and work your way up what we call the ranks, where you become team leader and eventually, you know, the master builder, project manager. So we created this entire volunteer journey.
Almost like a ranking system.
It was almost like a ranking system. So this is how we try to maintain the spirit of what Epic is trying to do. So we have these courses that you go through where we share the things that we've learned. We share the tools and the lessons and the spirit of what we're trying to do. And we craft this experience through that. I'm struggling a little bit to explain it, to be honest. Yeah,
I think you dove into it.
Yeah, maybe.
So you guys would conduct this training?
Yeah, when it started, yes, we would.
Okay.
Because we didn't know of any training centers or schools that offered this training to the normal volunteer.
Yeah.
So we actually had to think about the whole process ourselves.
So, for example, like, I'm sure on the ground when you're approaching the communities, when you're talking to the village heads, right, you got to make them understand your vision and what you're trying to do for the village, right? Was there any problems with that? Did anybody say, no, I don't want to, well, you're so good, right?
You know? Well, actually, it was very challenging in that sense where some of the things that we faced were, a lot of people talk about what they call the handout mentality.
Okay.
Where we needed to go in and convince them that, look, we're not, because we're also not flushed with funds, you know. And so when we approach a community, it's very organic. Usually a fellow villager or somebody would introduce us to his cousin's village or his auntie's village or somebody else. And that's what leads us to the next village. And when we go there, the context that they would set is that, oh, this guy from Epic or this people from Epic, they've helped us build homes. Mm. And when we go in, we say, hey, there's no promises of building homes, but we would like to get to know you first. You know, so trying to just capture their attention in that way and try to create a genuine environment was quite a tricky thing. Because a lot of times, the moment people hear NGO or government or you know,
then they shy away,
They shy away or they come to you and say, okay, what do you have? You know, and we're like, no, we don't want to engage in that sort of conversation. Mm-hmm. So setting the tone and that sort of expectations were quite tricky. Besides that, because one of our most important processes that we've put in place that's ensured this collaboration is called the Pay It Forward program, where
The people, ripple effect.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, where people who receive these homes, they would then have to pledge to pay it forward to build for three other families. And so in order for us to have a genuine experience, we can't force them to do it. And so we want it to be genuine as well. And we find that usually the first few families, they would say, I'll do it. But then on the day itself, they don't really turn up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So kind of continuing the work without feeling demoralized and disillusioned and ensuring that our volunteers also maintain a high morale was quite a challenge. But the idea is that you do it enough, very soon they'll ask you, actually, why do you do this?
Yeah.
You know, what are you doing here in our community? I know you want to build a house, but don't you have your own work? And why would you stress yourself in the hot sun and the rain and stuff?
Have you gotten these questions before?
Yeah. Mm. And they're usually very curious, like, why do you have to strive so hard to help me, a stranger? You know, and the moment just one of two of them get it, then it just becomes this ripple effect where very often not we have so many people doing the house that, and that's why we've also been able to complete houses in as fast as 2 days as well, where a lot of villagers just come on board.
That's the co-founders of Epic Homes, Johnson and Jane, telling us of their social initiative, which for the past 6 years have built almost 800 houses all around rural Malaysia. But what led him to the first house was actually a toilet. Find out how next on I Love KL. My name is Daryl Ong. This is BFM 89.9.
Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during red, white, and blue savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project.
Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.
BFM 89.9, my name is Daryl Ong, and you're tuned in to I Love KL, the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Today on the show, we have the co-founders of Epic Homes, a social initiative that has been around for about 6 years now, building houses for underprivileged and rural communities all around Malaysia. With almost 100 houses built, they recap the year and look forward to what's to come. So you guys would go to a village and they would kind of refer you to another village. But what brought you to that first village was actually a toilet, right?
That's right.
You guys were building a toilet which led you to this house that was really run down, which inspired the opening of Epic Homes.
Well, actually, it's two different villages, right? The first village that we went to, we were just a bunch of naive, a very idealistic young people, but at the same time, wanting to just do something. Mm. And somehow we met somebody who was working with this Orang Asli village. Mm. And through him, we met Pak Ali, and we had a couple of conversations with him, and that resulted in our first project, which was building a toilet and painting 12 houses. Mm. As a result of that, we then followed the same guy that led us to this village to another village he was working with, and that's where we found that broken house. But it was a very valuable lesson where our mindset, we went into the second village, we went in thinking, wow, now we've experience in building a toilet and painting houses. Now, where's all the toilets and houses that needs painting and building? Right. And that was where we learned that, wow, there's this really broken down house and our skills is totally useless over here.
Bigger fish to fry.
Exactly. Exactly. And that made us then reset our mindset and helped us rethink, you know, our whole intentions and process. And that's what led us to starting Epic Homes.
It costs approximately about $50,000 to build a house, right?
It really depends on the size. Okay. We've got different designs and different sizes. But I would say a good ballpark figure would be around 45,000 ringgit.
45,000 ringgit. Yeah. And you guys employ a senseless model, which means 100% of the donations would go to the building of the house. So how you guys been running for these 6 years then?
Earlier on, we did a smart thing, and that was to put our operations and administration cost into each house. But we realized that that drove up the cost of the house too high to enable sponsors, companies, people to sponsor us, because 50,000 ringgit was a little bit too high. Mm. It was outside most company CSR brackets. Okay. And so we did something which we thought was pretty senseless. That was to take away our own operations and administrative cost.
Okay.
And because we said that was stopping us from creating momentum. And that was actually what we wanted to create. So we took that out, and therefore the cost of the house at the time became 40,000 ringgit, which was more comfortable for a lot more sponsors. But as a result of that, we needed to then rethink how do we sustain ourselves or even grow the operations team. And so in that sense, 100% of the money will go to the construction of the house. You know, very little will actually go into, actually, even the operations of the house will be on the house itself. But nothing on planning, design, or anything outside of building that one house.
All that is on your own time.
Correct. And that led to us coming out with the social business model, where we looked at each build as an opportunity for team building as well. Mm-hmm. And so we started back in 2013, started to sell it to different companies as a team building activity. Of course, at that time, a lot of people say, you know, you're crazy. What kind of offer is this?
It's way better than standing in a circle throwing a ball or something.
I believe so. Or pretending, you know, like playing stuff in hotel rooms. Yeah. But anyways, it was just an added option that we thought, you know, would really benefit companies.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, there was traction. You know, so since then, we've worked with many great companies such as Prudential, GE, Tetra Pak, Nestle, and so on.
That's great. Apart from building homes, you guys will also help repair and rebuild homes as well. Especially this monsoon season, you know, there are a lot of floods. You guys help rebuild flood-affected homes. You guys also have planned to build a flood-resistant house. Has that already been done? And can you just give me a rundown of what exactly that means?
We have built in areas that are very susceptible to floods. And what we've done is we redesigned the home to be able to be suitable for these zones. Okay. So it's looking at simple things like how can we make sure that the structure is not something that will allow the water to flow through it rather than stand against it. Looking at the foundation of the house, bringing in foreign technology from Australia to secure the house using this thing called Mega Anchor. So we have built for flood victims, and we have developed our first design for flood zones. And we actually did this together last year with a bunch of different architects, including Seksun.
Yeah.
And we also worked with Build for Tomorrow to come up with a design that would withstand the flood. Instead of having the house as a solid structure that would, you know, be a force against the current of the water, we looked at how it would work if the water were to flow through it, building it higher so that the flood will bypass the house, looking at the foundation so that it would be more securely anchored using foreign technology from Australia. So we have actually begun to work with flood victims in these areas, specifically in Kelantan.
Sounds like a lot of thought went to this because in the rural areas, the landscape is not that predictable, right? Each house is situational. You got to work on each house differently. Yeah. What came into the thought process when it comes to that?
In regards to flood victims, I think like you mentioned, it really is situational. You know, so it needed us to really go to the ground, understand the communities that we're working with, what were some of the issues that they faced. Because, you know, sitting here in KL, you know, when we hear floods happening in Kelantan, you know, we don't really have an idea.
Yeah.
Or even we might have an imagination of it. But when you actually go over there and you realize that the floods went up 20 feet above their coconut trees, way above their houses, then
you see the real extent then.
Exactly, exactly. So we may have all these fancy ideas while sitting here in KL, but the moment you step foot in Kelantan itself, it all changes, goes out the window.
That's what I want to talk about next, because, you know, living in a busy city like KL, we are not exposed to this kind of situations. Why is bridging this gap so important to you guys? Yeah.
So I think it's important. We see building relationships and connecting people as one of the key factors to creating a sustainable community. So the main reason we connect people from the city to those that live in rural areas is because you are essentially an extension to a network that people may not be able to have access to. So, for example, there are extensions or opportunities to be able to get through you, which I wouldn't be able to get through somebody else, for example. So let's say when you come into a village and, you know, there are a lot of intricacies that you as an organization may not be able to solve, but as an individual, you can. Let's say, for example, you're working with someone who's having issues with a land title, which has happened in the past. And this family that was working on a build actually lent them their family lawyer to help solve this issue. Mm-hmm. So small, intricate problems that are huge problems to an individual, but not big enough for a corporation to take up, this is where you come in and this is where your value lies. By providing that access to that network, actually, you open so many new opportunities for a person who may not have that, and vice versa.
I think it's also important in terms of when coming up with a solution as well. And a solution, although as beautiful and as smart it may seem on Facebook, you know, it will only be as useful as on whether it suits the locality. And so, you know, a lot of times we make a lot of assumptions, and these assumptions actually result in a lot of decisions that do not suit, you know, the communities that you want to work with.
Right.
Yeah, so by really bridging this gap, we're able to then create more awareness. We're able to heighten understanding between different people. And we always see this thing as a two-way thing in terms of creating the best solutions for that local community. It's not just about external people who might know more going in and just saying, oh, okay, I know what the problem is. This is what I'm going to do for you. But instead, it also requires you to have a conversation with the people over there because they understand their situation better than anybody else, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you guys are doing that very well, but also you have big things in store for next year. You're planning to not just build a home, but the whole development of it. Can you just explain what's in store?
Right. So I think, you know, just going back to what EPIC stands for and what we're trying to do, we've really been trying to create a model to show that we as Malaysians or anybody in the world, Gen Y, or anybody in this generation, you know, we can do a lot more than just complain about stuff, but we can actually get to the ground and actually make it happen. Mm. And so we've been able to do it successfully in the field of building homes for underprivileged rural communities. But now we're wondering, what else can we do? You know, and so building homes, we're now looking at developing sustainable communities as well, learning from the many homes that we've actually built. So what we've learned is that, you know, by bringing people together, you know, and getting people to cooperate, we can actually do a lot, you know, and do seemingly impossible things. By creating that cooperation, then that leads to community resilience, you know, where we may not be able to predict our future, you know, the world's moving so quickly now, you know, things are changing, that we're living in uncharted waters. You know, so resilience really is about building that internal capacity to face whatever that will come. And so that can only happen if you have cooperation. And then that leads us then to sustainability. But a lot of times we hear this word sustainability and we think immediately green or eco.
Yeah.
But I think there's so much more to sustainability as well. And we believe that the people are what actually determines sustainability in the long run. So how can we use those principles now and then bring it into areas that are outside, even rural communities as well? So now we're looking at, first of all, expanding what we could possibly do with communities where previously we built homes, but now we can think of water distribution systems, purification systems, alternative energy, food production, basically everything that you need to be able to survive as a community. Besides that, we're also looking at expanding beyond those rural areas to even urban spaces as well. Mm. So you're talking about what to look out for in 2017, then if you want to get involved in an epic project, you know, you can do a lot more now than just build homes.
I mean, look at where you guys came from when you guys were building a toilet, painting houses, two building houses, and now building almost a whole kampung, right?
Yeah,
you guys
that's
the ultimate goal. I mean, you guys are doing very well for yourselves. And if anyone that's listening to this now who's really interested in your course, who's really motivated by Epic Homes or Epic's course, where can they go to online to find out more about the project?
You can check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/epicarmy, or you can just check out epic.my, epic.my. You'll be able to find out what events are happening and hopefully come and join us and make amazing things happen.
Epic things happen. That's a tagline right there. That was the co-founders of Epic Homes, a social initiative that helps build houses for the underprivileged communities in rural Malaysia. And that brings us to the end of this week's episode. If you'd like to check out the interview again, just head over to our website www.bfm.my/iLoveKL to download the podcast. Also, if you'd like to get in touch with us, just tweet us. We are at BFM Radio. My name's Daryl Ong. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week for another exciting episode of I Love KL, only here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during red, white, and blue savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.